Let's look at the book of Ruth. It's a very beautiful book in the Bible. Even the literary world liked the book of Ruth. Benjamin Franklin was in France one year. Of course, that's a long time ago. And he was a Bible believer. And they were ridiculing him for believing the Bible. And every one of the members of this educational society that he was visiting over there in France, they brought every night, you know, back before they had television and radio, you know, people used to memorize things and they would tell stories or memorize poems or whatever. They'd get up and it would entertain people because they didn't have television and radio, all right? And it was a beautiful thing. People would go to church just to be going somewhere, you know, whether they believed in God or not. Well, Abraham Lincoln got up to this society and he had written out the book of Ruth. Now, they didn't believe the Bible, these people did. And he wrote the book of Ruth out, and he got up and recited the book of Ruth before them. And I mean, they clapped and they applauded him, and they said, "You ought to put that in writing. We ought to publish this. This is one of the most beautiful stories we have ever heard." And he said, well, he says, this was a question and answer thing after the class, you know, after the recital. And he said, well, he said, I want to tell you that it's already in print. And they said, where? He said, you know the Bible that you've been ridiculing? He said, it's in the book. It's the book of Ruth in the Bible. It's actually in the Bible. And so they had a little bit different. They said, how many of you read the Bible? You know? And now we have a chance, and in our classes we studied the first all the way from Genesis up to the book of Ruth now. Have you enjoyed that? Did you get some deep stuff out of there? And turn over some things and dig ground down into some absolute gold mines. Well, the book of Ruth is another gold mine. It's another gold mine. We don't really know who wrote it. Okay?
Is that story about Ben Franklin or Abraham Lincoln? You said both.
Benjamin Franklin. Did I say Abraham Lincoln?
No.
I didn't mean that.
Okay.
Benjamin Franklin. All right. Abraham Lincoln used to quote the book of Ruth. They quoted the Bible a lot. It took place in the time when the judges ruled Israel. All right. And it has a lot to do with the Levirate law. How many of you know what the Levirate law is? Remember what the Levirate law was? Studying a lot of things. Okay. Levirate law is where if somebody died, okay, they could, if Freud had a brother, and his brother was married to this woman, or his close relative, his cousin or whatever, if he was married to this woman, and he died, and they didn't have any children, then Freud would be responsible to marry her and bring up a child in his brother's name, would be named after his brother. Okay, that's what you call the law of the Levirate law. And that's what's taking place in the book of Ruth, okay? We studied all through the first five books of the Bible, and remember that the tenth man in every generation is very important. And we find out that this is also so with Boaz, okay? Now, Boaz and we have Ruth. Let's go to the book of Ruth, and let's start looking at it, okay? Let's look at it. We come to the first part of it. We have it's a love story, anyway. And it starts out with love's resolve, and love's response, and love's request, and love's reward as it goes down through there, and we're going to see this. Now, verse number 1, chapter number 1, and verse number 1, and who's got the Bible open? Brother David. All right.
Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons.
Okay. Now here we have Ruth, And we have a certain man, and they lived in Bethlehem. Who else was born in Bethlehem?
David
was born in Bethlehem. Who later was born in Bethlehem?
Jesus.
All right. Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Is what it says in Hebrew. What does that mean?
House of bread.
House of bread. Got theologians in here. House of bread. All right. Now, the book of Ruth. There are two books in the Old Testament. They're a type of the church in the world today. All right? In this age. See, we live in church age here. All right? This period of time. There are two books in the Old Testament that portray the bride of Christ. One of them is the book of Ruth. All right? And the other one is what? The Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, where he talks about his love, his dearly beloved. All right, so now this takes place in the days of Ruth, and the word sojourn means pilgrimage. You know, they were pilgrims, they were nomads in the land, okay? Verse number 2, let's go along there. All right, Brother Randall.
The name of the man was Elimelech.
Elimelech.
The name of his wife was Naomi.
Uh-huh.
And the names of his two sons were Halon and Chilion.
Yeah, Chilion.
Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judea, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there.
All right. Now, all of these names mean something very important, okay? Naomi, that means pleasant, okay? Pleasant. Ruth has got a beautiful name. Her name means she's a good looker. That's what it means. She's pleasant to look at. Now, there's some very pretty women around. You know, we've got some here today. They're pleasant to look at. They're pretty. All right? And that's what her name is. Pretty woman. All right? Beautiful woman. That's what pleasant to look at. All right? And then who knows who she was married to? Ruth was married to one of these boys. All right? Malon. All right? She was married to Malon. And Chilion was probably his twin brother. Twin brother. Okay? Now, these two boys had funny names. All right? Real weird. Now, have you ever heard the names of these boys, what they mean? Okay? All right. Well, Malon, his name means unhealthy and sickly. Okay? And then Chilion means puny and about to perish. Now, if you go back and you realize that these are probably twin boys, back in these days when someone had twins, many times they did not, one of them, or both of them, you know, they were small. Mary?
What?
When you were born, how much did you weigh?
4 pounds.
4 pounds. She's a twin. Mm-hmm. All right, a twin. All right, a little bitty thing. And sometimes the twins are very sickly, and so their mother, which means pleasant and everything, she probably had to nurse them a lot. And she named one of them puny and the other one sickly. All right? That's what their names were, puny and sickly. And Malon, or unhealthy, or puny, married Ruth. Now, these were, I guess they really loved. Now, these two women were Gentiles. All right? They were Gentiles. But they were actually related. Who was their great grandfather, so to speak?
David.
Who?
David.
No. Ruth.
Oh, Ruth.
Ruth. Who was there? Where'd they go back?
Well, they were Moabites.
Uh-huh. Moabites. Who were these Moabites? Remember when Lot?
Oh.
A Lot? All right. This is Abraham's descendants. Are Abraham's descendants, cousins or nephews through Lot. So these are who the Moabites are. Okay? And the Moabites are in the land, but they are heathen pagans. They become pagans. Where did Lot go? You know, what Abraham said, now, the land cannot sustain us both, so you go to the right hand, and I'll go to the left, you go to the left, and I'll go to the right. And where did Lot want to go?
Sodom.
Down to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all those. And what kind of, and he became a lawyer down there. You know, that's really a problem. He became a lawyer. It said he sat in the gate of the city. That meant that he was a lawyer. Okay? And he took his family down there. And when he finally left out, when God went down there, the angels came down and said, "We're going to destroy the city." And he had two daughters. He had a wife. And we had two son-in-laws that were espoused to these girls. And they were, Lot was a believer. In the Bible, you would not even know that Lot knew the Lord. But because of the walk, he made some real bad decisions in his life. Horrible decisions. But he finally was told to get out of that city. Get out of the city, or you want to perish in the city, because I'm going to destroy the city. Here was a bunch of, what were they? Sodomites. All right, that's what we get those terms today. This goes right back to what they were back then. Well, God was going to rain down fire and brimstone and destroy this whole bunch. Okay? Well, he finally had to drag them out of there. And then what did Lot's wife do? He told them, "Don't you dare look back. Don't you dare look back onto the world. That's the type of the world. Don't you dare do it." And when she did, she turned into a pillar of salt. Okay? And basically, as far as we know, it's down there where the Dead Sea is. I had a friend, Walt West, that they drilled big core drilling over there, and they said they drilled down in there, and they ran through some where a city used to be, and it was still radioactive, from radioactive like isotope from atomic type blast in there, and they went through a pottery and everything that had just been melted into glass. Now, you don't read that in archaeological books, but he told me that he was going to show some of them to me, but he said they're radioactive. He said, whatever hit that place was so powerful and dynamic, it was like an atomic blast, and of course God said he rained fire and brimstone upon them, okay? Well, these are the descendants, and they became pagans, because that's all they did. And it was an incestuous bunch, because, you know, that Lot's daughters, they didn't have any husbands anymore, and they seduced their father, and they had children by him, and here is the progeny of that. Right? And here we have this one more woman here. We have Ruth. Now, when the Lord called out his little church around the seashores of Galilee, that was basically what kind of a church nationally? Originally. It's a Jewish church. Alright? But wasn't too long after that church became a Gentile church. Many of the Jews fell back into Judaism. Okay? And it became a Gentile church. Now, the church is a special entity with the Lord. She's His bride. Okay? And today, the biggest majority of the Lord's churches are Gentile churches. Okay? Gentile churches. So Ruth is a what? She's a Gentile. Alright? She's a Gentile. Now her name means what? Beautiful. The book of the Song of Solomon. Solomon talked about his beautiful bride. And that's a type of the Lord's church. And the Lord looks at his church and she is beautiful to him. She is clothed in righteousness and beautiful, pristine, like a bride adorned for her husband, all of this. All right. Now let's go on a little bit further. Number three. Run Mikey over there.
Okay. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons.
Okay. Now what is Elimelech? You remember what Elimelech means? Huh? God is king. My last is king, our angel in the Bible, and hell, all right, Elimelech. God is king. That's what his name means. He had a good name. All right, but he got it. Okay, he got it. Going a little bit further now, Randall. Number four.
Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other Ruth.
All right.
And they dwelt there about 10 years.
Okay. Here they, the name Ophrah. Now, what does Ophrah mean? That means pond. like a pretty little fawn. That's fawn. Okay. Rachel, are you over there? Would you like to read the number five?
And that's right. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the women survived her two sons and her husband.
All right. Now all we have is girls left here. Women left. We have a household of women with no protection. Okay? No protection. And Sister Andino, number six, and go six and seven and eight, okay?
I'm going to ask Jessica, since she's the first time here, to read those verses.
Okay, do you want to do that?
Sure. When she heard in Omaha that the Lord had come to the aid of his people, yeah, number six, by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter,
It's just a different translation.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Naomi and her daughter-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughter-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah.
Okay, now they're going to go back to the land. Okay.
Then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness to you as you have shown to your dad and to me.
All right. And I said, go back home. That's what Naomi says. Go back home to your family. I'm a widow. I'm going to go back into my land. I'm going to go back home. She heard that things were better in Bethlehem and the famine was not in the land anymore, so she's going to go back. And her whole idea of going back is she's going to try to find somebody to redeem her land. Okay? Because they had left the land. All right. Brother Bill. Number 9 and 10.
The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people.
All right, now both of them wanted to return with them, with her, to her family and her people. Now they had never been there before, remember. These girls are going to a strange land. And they're going to be strangers in land. And what, how do the Jews look upon Gentiles anyway? Dogs. Okay? Look upon them as dogs. And we are a Gentile church today. Even though we're dogs, Gentiles, the Lord has made us clean and purchased us with His blood, hasn't He? All right. And number 11. Number 11, Brother Mike. 11 and 12.
But Naomi said, return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands?
Now, you have to look back now. If she'd had any more children, that's what would have happened. You remember what happened with Henry VIII over in England? You know how the Church of England started? Henry VIII had to marry his older brother's wife when he died. And this is the way the law was. I mean, it came even all over Europe, you know. If a guy died, now she said, now I'm too old to have any more kids. I can't have any more kids because if we had these children, by the time they got old enough to marry you, I'd be old and you'd be too old to have children anyway. Just go on back home now and find you more husbands. All right? Find more husbands. That's verse number, Brother Mike.
What does Ruth mean?
Ruth means pretty.
Pretty girl.
Pretty. Pleasant to look at. Good looker. She's good looking. That's what her name means. Good looker. All right?
And what is Orpha? Oh, you said that.
Fawn. Fawn. Orpha was Fawn. Okay. Number 12, Mike. Go on with that.
Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me.
Okay, now she is depressed, and she said, God has judged us. But you know, even in all, when we go through hard times in this life, there's got to be a rainbow, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, because God wouldn't let you go through it unless it was good for you somehow or another, okay? It's just the way it is. Now, she doesn't know what great things that God has in store for her. Oh, that's it. Boys, these women had husbands that they loved. She had a husband that she loved. All of them died now, and they're all widows together. But God has plans for them. All right, God has plans. Dr. John, do you want to read 14 and onward there?
Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law."
Okay, now hold on right there. Back to her what? God. Back to her gods. Now she has left and she's gone back to her gods. Now you just go on too. All right, Brother John, go ahead.
But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will be buried the Lord, so do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me."
All right, isn't that a beautiful statement right there? That's a statement of faith, and that's a statement of absolute resignation. Now, she is going to stay with her mother-in-law. She is going to go to her people. Evidently, something about... Now, Ruth, you know, her name means pleasant. Now, both of these girls wanted to stay with her after their husbands died. They didn't want to run right back home to mama. I mean, when you always want to get a hold of mama. Cindy, you want to stay hold of mama. Bill, you want to stay hold of mama. I mean, your mothers are very elderly and everything, but you want to check on her every few days. How many of you still have mamas? All right. And you call and check on them, don't you? Because you love them. All right? Now, these girls are telling Naomi, "We want to stay with you. We're not going to go home to mama." That means something about Naomi, doesn't it? That woman was a good woman. All right? She must have been a real good mother-in-law. How many of you love your mother-in-law? That's good. Bill, do you have mother-in-law jokes? You heard mother-in-law? We've heard about all this in the past. We always had mother-in-law jokes there, but we talk about this, but this is a good mother-in-law. And she's a good mother. Okay? This is a great woman. A great woman of God. All right. She said, "We want to stay with you." Well, one of them decides to go back home. But Ruth says, "I'm not going home. I'll die first. I'm going to stay with you. I'm not going home to mom. I love you more than I do my own mother and my own flesh and blood." Sister Andy.
Probably Naomi has witnessed to her,
yes,
about God, because she said, "Your people shall be my people and your God my God."
That's right. Your God is going to be my God. I believe. Even the boys, sickly and puny, even they must have been good witnesses to these daughters. Even though they married Gentiles and they sinned, so to speak, in marrying these Gentile women, they must have witnessed to them and introduced them to their God. All right? So now they both wanted to stay. One of them goes back. And Ruth says, "I'm not leaving." Number 19 now. Number 19. Bud Floyd, are you over there?
And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was scared because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them.
That's good. Is this Naomi that came back? You know, she was beautiful. Evidently, Naomi was a beautiful, good-looking woman, too. And she comes back, and she's drawn, and she's old, and she's depressed, and she leaves wearing beautiful clothing, and she comes back wearing drab clothing. Brother Floyd, go on. 20. Mm-hmm.
She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Myra."
Call me Mary.
That's what the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full of the Lord, and I went away full of the Lord has brought me back empty.
All right. Does this remind you at the cross of Calvary? What was Jesus' mother name?
Mary.
Mary. What does Mary mean?
Bitter.
Forlorn. Sorrowful. All right. Bitter, forlorn, sorrowful. Do we see all the types in this book? All right. Beautiful, beautiful type. The Lord has, the Almighty God, El Shaddai. All right. Remember, El Shaddai. El Shaddai. What does El Shaddai mean? All-nourishing one, the all-powerful one, the one that's all-powerful and all-nourishing. She said, the Almighty has dealt with me bitterly. Okay? I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. And I'm going to tell you something. He's going to go to Bill sing a song. What's it? Higher than I've ever been. I just love to hear him sing that song. Higher than I've ever been. This is what's going to happen to Naomi now. She was happy with their husband and everything, but God is going to lift them up and make them happier than ever before. All right? Happier than ever before. I went out full. The Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Why do you still call me pleasant? Now I'm depressed and I'm weary and I'm sad and sorry. Okay? Number 22, Brother Lloyd.
So Naomi returned and Ruth, the Moabite's daughter-in-law, went with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest.
At the barley harvest. Now she's going to meet a guy over here. Now we have a beautiful story here. She's going to meet a new guy. Brother Brett, are you there?
Yes. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's mighty name as well. With a family of
Elimelech.
And his name was Boaz.
His name was what? What does Boaz mean? In him is strength. Now we're going to come find out. Now Jesus told many parables, didn't he? He was the sower that went out forth to sow. He was the Lord of the harvest, wasn't he? Now who is Boaz? Who is Boaz? He is also the Lord of the harvest. They come back now at the time of the barley harvest. Okay? And there's going to be a reaping and there's going to be time. And what does Bethlehem mean?
Bread.
House of bread. House of food is what it means. House of food. House of nourishment. They have gone out into the foreign land. Now, when we're born in this world, we're born in sin, aren't we? When the Lord calls us, He calls us to come back home, to come back to Him. And He provides, doesn't He? All right, He provides. He'll see to it. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? Jehovah Jireh?
All-seeing.
Well, it's Jehovah, He who shall become. That's talking about the Messiah. All right. And Jireh. What does Jireh mean?
Provide.
It means to provide, but it literally means to see to it. Back in Oklahoma today, when somebody says something, I'll take care of it, they'll say, I'll see to it later. Do they still use that term? That is an old, old biblical term. Because that's Jireh. I'll see to it. The Lord shall see to it. You shall provide or see to it. Wait. Okay? It says, now Naomi had kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth. Who is Jesus? Is he El Shaddai? All right. Is he Jehovah? All right. Is it Jehovah Sabaoth? The Lord of armies. All right. Is he all of these? Jehovah Nissi? All of Jehovah's titles, is that who he is? He said he's a mighty, great, and wealthy man. When Jesus sent, remember when he was going into Jerusalem on his triumphant entry, he was going to go on and take over his kingdom. Alright, he's going to ride in what we call the triumphant entry. And he goes out there and he says, there's a guy standing over there and he's got a donkey. Go out there. And tell him that the Lord, Jehovah, Adonai has need of that donkey. If they ask you why you're going to take the donkey. Alright, so you go get the donkey, and when they ask you, you say the Lord has need of it, and they just back off and say, oh, what? Jehovah has need of this donkey. If you had one of them cows out there, brother, and somebody was going to rustle one of your cows, and they come up there, and you'd heard this guy preaching all over, and he said, Jehovah has need of this cow. You'd say, well, take that cow. Take that cow! It's Jehovah. How many cattle does the Lord have? All of them. Everything on this earth is His. You know, us old Indians, We said that nobody could ever own land, the Chickasaw Nation that we had originally. No man could own any land. Am I right, Brother Bill?
That's right.
Why? Because only God owned the land. That's it. When the white man came over to this land, they were going to buy land. We laughed up our sleeves at them. We said, they're going to buy land. They think they can own this land. Sell them to them for a few beads. Because God owns the land. Don't these people know better that God owns all this land? They own it all. God owns the land. The Lord owned it all. That donkey was Jesus' donkey, by the way. He owned that donkey. All he did was go and borrow it for a while. And they went in there and he rode into Jerusalem and he took possession of Jerusalem. He ran those hypocrites and Sadducees and Pharisees out of there and he said, you've made my house into what? A den of thieves. Alright? And he beat them up. He said, you're bankrupt. He went and turned over their benches. The old term in the pagan world for going into a pagan temple, they had banks in every pagan temple. Did you know that? Every temple was a bank. And the high priest was the banker in there. Now, if you could take your money and put it in this bank in all these pagan temples, if that priest proved to be unfaithful and wasn't honest, you could go back and get your money back with interest and everything. If he didn't pan out to be a good man, they took him and publicly whipped him and broke his bench and said he was bankrupt. That's exactly what Jesus did when he went into the temple area. He said, you people are bankrupt. He broke their benches. And what else did he do? He made a whip and he beat them publicly. And that's what they do to the streets. And not only that, what was the end result of all of this? What did they do with it? After they publicly beat the guy, what else did they do? What? They purposely executed him. Now, here's the bad story. We are guilty of our sins, aren't we? Who ends up paying, took the death stroke for their sin?
Jesus.
They crucified him. Instead of them all being out there on the cross, Jesus was their substitute. All right. That's quite a story right there. What?
The death of the substitute.
Now, he's
substitute.
Death.
That's right.
Yeah. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let me go to a field and glean among the ears of corn after one in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Let me go to the field. Now, next few words, it says that she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened. She happened. Let's look at that word, she happened. She happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. And it was a coincidence. The rabbis say there are no coincidences. That's an unkosher word. No coincidences, all right? Comes to a portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. She happened to come to this field. What happened when she happened to that field? The whole history of the world was changed, so to speak. Or confirmed. Number four. Rachel.
Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 4.
Yeah, 2:4. 2 and verse 4.
Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you.
All right. The Lord be with you, and the Lord bless you. And then look at what. Look here at this love story now. Go on there just a little bit further, Rachel.
Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this?
Who is this good-looking young woman?
My sister's damsel.
Huh? Who is this good-looking young woman? Who is this good-looking young woman? Now, do you think the Lord is pulling on his heartstrings? Just a little bit? Is the Lord preparing him?
Yep,
you know what I think about that, Bill? How about Bill?
Joanne's smacking you. She's either smitten or cursed. It depends on whether you're positive or negative.
He's smitten with this girl, this beautiful girl. And then number six, Brother Mike.
And the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab."
All right, she's a young Moabite woman that returned from the land of Moab. Now, he tells her right here, she's a Gentile. When the Lord looks at you, does He see your sin after you've been born again? What He sees is His righteousness in you. Alright? Now here is an upstanding Jewish boy, and they said, "She's just a Gentile." What does He see in her? Something more than that. Alright, something more. Number seven, Brother David.
And he said, "Please let me glean and gather." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while.
All right, you keep on going.
Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids."
All right, you stay here with my young female workers. He's going to protect her now. Is the Lord our banner? Is He our protector? El Shaddai. Is He? Now, remember, Boaz here, now in him a strength, Boaz. Where do we see the name Boaz later in the time of Solomon? Where do we see that name? Do you remember that?
Boaz is the bad guy.
Boaz, in later on in the time of David and Solomon, names one of the pillars of the temple, Boaz.
I thought Boaz was ruthless.
Now, what was Boaz before he found Ruth?
Ruthless.
All right. I told that story. He was ruthless. Brother
David. Yeah, I'm picking up here is Boaz was probably an older man, probably had several wives, because he's stopping a young lady and probably a leprous old guy.
Well, I don't know. How many wives did Jesus have?
Yeah.
He's got one.
Oh, yeah.
Now, remember, this is a type. All right? This is a type. Now, he didn't have Mary Magdalene either. I don't care what the Da Vinci Code man, no, I'm Tom Lowe, okay? All right, he's got one.
His church.
His church is his right. Brother Adam.
It sounds like he's got women working for him, the way it reads.
Yes, he does have female workers.
Does he actually pay it? I mean, when he worked, I'm just wondering if it was something to do with gleaning that he considered his.
Us engines had a real good idea a long time ago. The women did all of the wood gathering and all the menial labor. Even, you know, we'd go out and shoot a buffalo or a deer or something, we brought it home for the women to skin and clean.
That sounds pretty good.
And we went out and bought pigs, we brought them home and the women cleaned them. And that's basically, this is, the women are doing the labor. There have always been a lot of women laborers, okay? All right, a lot of women laborers. All right, now she says there, he says, "Stay with my women workers." All right? Number nine. Brother Mike.
"Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants brought."
All right? Now, his workers, you go over there and you stay with my workers, you eat with my workers, you drink with my workers. From now on. All right, you say I'm going to protect you. In His name is what is Boaz's name? In Him is strength. He is the Lord of the heart. Do you see the type? Many commentators say the church is not mentioned in the Old Testament. I beg their pardon. Here it is, so plain. All right, this is it. Number ten, Brother Brett.
"And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, and thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?"
All right. Boy, I tell you. Why did the Lord save me? Why did the Lord say, what do you see in you that was worth saving? The end result of what he was doing for him in life, what he could do for you. Huh? We're saved by what? By our work? By our beauty? By grace. By grace. All right. Number 11. Sister Ann Neal.
And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Right.
You've come into a strange land.
You're a foreigner.
You're a foreigner. That's right. You're a foreigner. You've come into a strange land. You came here because you believed in your mother-in-law's God. And you loved her. That's quite. Now, if you were going to be looking for a wife, what kind of a wife would you want? Some wild woman? Or some stable woman?
With money?
Huh?
Well, a lot of money, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I love the Lord, you know.
Love the Lord. That's what he did. He wanted one that loved. That was what he was looking for. Number 12 now. Number 12. Young lady, you want to read number 12?
Sure. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.
All right, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. It was a public statement that this woman was a believer in God. She was a believer in God. All right, number 13 now. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, as an eye. All right? For you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. She's different. She's considered a daughter. She was a gentleman. Okay? But you have made me feel at home here. Number 14. And at mealtime, Boaz said, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the salts. All right, they made a sauce out of vinegar and
like
gravy. All right, they had gravy. Biscuits and gravy, all right? All right, I remember when I was over in the Middle East one time, I had stayed in the Baptist for a while, which is the most backward place in the world. And they gave me the dinner that Abraham fed the angels with. And they came out, and Brother Madden was sitting there with me, you know, a big old caveman boy. And they brought out rice, and they brought out some, it's the fatted calf, okay? And they had cooked this meat. It was real thin sliced meat. And then they had this gravy-looking stuff on it. The gravy. They always had something to dip the bread in or something. This was the sauce, the gravy, okay? Now, this gravy that they gave me was camel's milk yogurt. Gravy. Pretty strong tasting stuff. But that, to the curds, and it says in King James there, the curds, that's camel's milk gravy. Camel's milk or camel yogurt. All right? And they made this. That's what it was. Well, now, she's got some kind of dainty thing to dip it in. This is kind of like this. The last 2 days we've had a lot of food and everything out there, and I have some beef, all right, thin sliced beef, and I made a sauce to go over it without a vinegar and olive oil. And that could have been what they had over here that they dipped the bread in. But it was vinegar and olive oil and garlic and pepper and things like that, and you mix that with the beef, and it tastes like pickled tongue. You know, it's really, really good. All right.
Could you eat that? Could you eat it,
Jim? I ate it. Brother Madden, now, you know, we're over here in an Arab world. We just went by at some place out there today. They had three people hanging by the neck. They'd been hanging there with blue and purple and everything, you know what I mean? They'd been hanging out there in front of the prince's palace, and they were lawbreakers. So they left them out there hanging. Their bodies were hanging. We went by there and here's their bodies hanging in this deep, you know. And when we were in this to the fine restaurant called the Oriental Palace, which was horrible, but that was her idea, fine. We went in there, and Brother Madden sat in there, and he said, they put this plate out here, and he said, well, you done ruined it now. Put that gravy on it. He said, this isn't 50. He took his plate down, and he said, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. It sat right on the floor in the restaurant. He was, you will get us killed. All right, let's go on. All right, which verse are we in?
13?
All right. All right, number 14. That's where we got to the vinegar. All right, number 15. When she rose again to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, let her glean, even among the sheep. Do not insult her in any way. All right? Do not insult her in any way. And also, you shall purposely pull out for some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may pick that up, and don't you dare say anything wrong with her. This is the Lord in our heart. Back there, you know, they didn't have welfare, they didn't have Social Security or anything like that. And the rich people were taxed. And this is the way they taxed them. They could not reap all their fields. All right? And anybody that was poor in the community, now this is the law, anybody that's poor in the community, they could only go through a field one time and reap that field. You couldn't go back and glean it at all if you were the field owner. That field was for the poor. Anything that was left out there, the poor went out there, and they had to go out there and work just a little bit for their food. It wasn't quite like welfare, like it is today. But it was, they had to go out there and they gleaned. But they had to leave all the corners of the field. They could not reap that. Now, Boaz says, now make sure that this woman's got enough food here. All right? He said, you do this. They provided for them. God has always provided for the poor, hasn't he? He's always left that. Does he provide for the sparrows and the stuff? Yeah. They couldn't stop the sparrow from eating either, nor any of the birds of the field. The seventh year, they couldn't reap anything. The landowner couldn't reap anything. All of it was for the poor. And all of it was for the wild animals of the field. If the cats went in there, if the dogs went in there, if the sheep went in, wild sheep or wild goats or deer or antelope or whatever they went in there, they ate. They couldn't reap it. That was for, the seventh year was for everybody else. Okay? Let's go on a little further now. Which verse are we on?
18.
All right, number 18. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw and she that she had gleaned, and she also took it out and gave Naomi that what she had left, and she was satisfied. I know that she ate. They have food to eat now. But over there in the forsaken land, over there in Moab, they didn't have enough to eat. But now in the house of bread, in the house of the Lord, God has provided. Isn't that beautiful?
Jim, what was the ephod again? I forgot. How much was the ephod?
18 liters.
Yeah. Her mother-in-law, where did you glean today, she said. Where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. Now she said, may this man be blessed. And so she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is what? Boaz. A light comes on. A light comes on. All right, a light comes on. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord. All right, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. All right. Not only is he honoring us, but he's honoring our dead relatives. That was his relatives, all right? Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our what? Relative. And he is one of our closest relatives. Our closest relative. What does that mean? He's our Boaz. Our kinsman redeemer. Our kinsman redeemer. This man can redeem our land. We'll have our land again. And not only that, but he's going to be your husband. just like this. He's going to be your husband. Isn't that beautiful? Then Ruth the Moabite said, furthermore, he said to me, you shall stay close to my servants until they have finished and all my harvest. And they only said to her, to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maid, lest others fall upon you in another field. Now, back then, they had problems too. They see a defenseless woman out there, and they took advantage of her so many times. They said, don't go out in any other field now. Of course, Boaz had told her what? Stay in my field. Don't go anyplace else. And she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. All right? She's being faithful to her mother-in-law. And number three now, chapter number three, Boaz will redeem Ruth. All right? Chapter number three. Do you want to go any further, or you want to save this for next week? You want to save it for next week? All right. We're getting close to the end of the class. Time we're already doing. Do you have any questions?
How come Naomi didn't go out the field with Ruth?
Evidently, she was old and feeble, and Ruth was doing all the labor. Okay. Evidently, there was something wrong. She was some way evidently disabled or whatever. Where did they stay? It doesn't say much about that. It doesn't say much. Where maybe they had a shack out there on their former land where they were staying in. Maybe that's what they were saying. Anything else? Brother Bill, you got anything? Is this a beautiful story?
No.
If you took him to an even bunch of slots, isn't this a beautiful story so far? I mean, we haven't got to, but in the literary world, colleges study this. When Benjamin Franklin went over there in France and they were ridiculing him for believing the Bible, he reads this story and they say, oh, this is a beautiful story. Print it. Publish it. Well, it is published. It is a very close tie of the Lord and His church. We may finish it next week. I don't know. It's not a very big book. But look how important it is. Look how important. How much have you learned from it? Have you seen the time? Plain time of the Lord and His church? Of salvation? God the provider? Isn't that beautiful? Brother David. All right.
Well, that was one. Thank you.